Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
Let's get it! Mike Sempervivi here with you for the next hour talking about professional wrestling, which is something we do every single day here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tune in, iHeart, American Forces Radio, Cable Radio Network 2, SportsByline.com, over-the-air affiliates, podcasting, or maybe your video streaming on Twitch or YouTube. However you're joining us today, I'd just like to say thank you. Hopefully wherever you are, it's sunny outside, and even if not, hopefully it's sunny inside your mind. Gorgeous day here on Delmarva. It's Monday, and as always, there's a lot to get into. Brian's not here today, which I apologize for. He'll be back tonight. For subscribers over at WrestlingObserver.com, another edition of Wrestling Observer Radio with he and Dave. And as always, Filthy Tom Lawler will take the hot tag and join me after the break. No surprise, the big story of the day, AEW Revolution and all of the fallout from it last night. A hell of a show, which left us with a lot to talk about today. In the main event, Jon Moxley retained the AEW World title, defeating Adam Copeland and Christian Cage as well. Cage inserted himself into the match towards the finish. Afterwards, Swerve Strickland attacked Moxley, so it looks like Prince Nana's wish for Swerve to be back in the title picture is happening immediately, which apparently makes a lot of you out there very happy too. You don't want to wait for Darby to be the guy that takes that title off of Moxley. You'd like to see it sooner rather than later. We'll probably kick around today if Swerve is going to be that guy. Tony Storm and Mariah May certainly set a new bar for violence in a blood feud between women as they reach the end of their trilogy. It's going to be really interesting to see who both of them move on to for their next programs. And unsurprisingly, if you saw the show or you heard about the show, there's a little bit of a body count coming out of Revolution, which we'll fill you in on. Tonight is also Monday Night Raw, live on Netflix from the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. We'll let you know what's planned for the show so far, as well as what else we may see. Plus, WWE has announced details on this year's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Butterbean is returning to the ring, and we'll find out how Tom's trip to the Bay was last week for Hood Slam. We'll be back after the break. Wrestling Observer Live.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the show. Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler here with you. Jim Valley joins you on Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and Andrew Zarian will be with you on Sunday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time through all of the same ways that you're listening to us right now. I'd also love it if you made the wrestling news part of your day. You can find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts, on YouTube, or go to thewrestlingnews.com or at WrestlingNewsAV on X and Facebook. Every single day of the year, everything you need to know to get your day started, get you up to date, or get you to your favorite long-form review pod like Wrestling Observer Radio. And as I told you, a new one of those will be up there tonight with Dave and Brian. There was a new one last night with Dave and Brian talking all about AEW Revolution, which we're about to do right now. Filthy Tom Lawler, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good. I'm over here on the apron, fired up like I'm the Undertaker in Germany in the early 2000s, ready for that hot tag, baby. Just let me know when you need me.
You're constantly needed on this show. You should just be on this show all of the time. Just make it simple.
I've got a life.
That's true, but I could take more days off if you did that. That would be nice, but there are no days off on this show. Somebody's got to be here to fill in. That's what we're doing right now.
There's too much going on.
There
How
is
can
too
you take
much
a day
on.
Off? Every time you think there's going to be a lull in the action, it picks up. Somebody makes a comeback.
Now, when did you get back into town in Las Vegas after appearing on Friday in Oakland? How was that? How was Hoots Lamb? You've survived, obviously, so that's good. But how was it on the golden microphones for the company?
I did survive. What I can say is, those of you who have not heard of Hoots Lamb, there has been a ton of media done on them in the past. They were featured on Vice. They've been seen all around the world. And what I can tell you is that this is one of the best pro wrestling parties you could ever attend. If you are a wrestling fan, it's a great show. If you are not a wrestling fan, it's a great show. Just top to bottom, fun. I can't express how much fun I had alongside Anton Voorhees on the mic. We got to see the Serial Man retain the Golden Gig Championship over Emo Rob Hands when there was an alien invasion, a UFO did a run-in, and allowed the Serial Man to pick up the victory.
A UFO. Did it come down from the ceiling like the mothership at a Parliament show or what?
It came out from the crowd. It was circling Rob as he was up on the top rope. And then the cereal man snuck back in and pinned him to retain the golden gig. The biggest prize in Hood Slam.
Can you see yourself competing in that ring one day? Did they do enough to take you off of commentary? Did they do enough to convince you that you should be out there doing some battles?
To be fair, I don't know if I have what it takes, Mike. This is another level.
You ought to just wait and see how Butterbean fares against Minoru Suzuki coming up here and then possibly get the winner of that before we get into Revolution and everything taking place there. I got to mention this because I had to laugh when I saw it posted up on the website earlier on today by Josh Nason. Eric Esch, yes, Butterbean, will be back in wrestling and facing Minoru Suzuki at the WrestleCon Super Show that's going to be coming up over WrestleMania weekend on Thursday, April 17th. And to add a little bit of a wrinkle to it, former UFC and NWA World Heavyweight Champion Dan the Beast Severn is going to be the special guest enforcer for the match. And apparently, which I did not know this until reading the article, Butterbean has actually been losing weight in working with Diamond Dallas Page to, I guess, really get him literally back on his feet. I guess Butterbean was always a big dude, but I guess he kind of blew up and lost a lot of mobility, which Diamond Dallas Page has been helping him get back. That is going to be tested, I would think, in there against Minoru Suzuki.
There's not many things in pro wrestling that surprise me, that leave me aghast, baffled, just speechless. But seeing this announcement over the weekend was one of them. I can't tell you how many text messages, how many shares, how many times I was sent this tweet, this graphic of this matchup. Are you kidding me? Minoru Suzuki against Butterbean. Who has Suzuki not fought at this point? I mean, the guy beat Jushin Liger in an MMA fight. He got booted repeatedly in the testicles by CMLL's El Solar in a fight. And now he's taking on Butterbean, of all people, Brawl for All legend, WWF legend, Butterbean against Minoru Suzuki. Are you kidding me?
I wonder if we're going to see Butterbean in the WWF Hall of Fame one day for that knockout of Bart Gunn at WrestleMania, what was it, 15 or whatever it was, the comeuppance of Bart Gunn for daring to beat up the rest of the locker room who they put him in front of in that Brawl for It All tournament, ended up with Butterbean murdering him on that show, sent him to Japan after that pretty much. But speaking of violence and injuries, there was AEW Revolution last night. People did not come out of it unscathed. Several wrestlers were said to be banged up following the show. The injuries were addressed by Brian and Dave last night on Wrestling Observer Radio. Quote, as far as I know, nobody is seriously hurt, but there may be many people who are banged up. As far as the severity, I don't know, Meltzer said. And he did add that he heard neither Kyle Fletcher nor Will Ospreay were seriously hurt from the Spanish Fly off the top of the cage. However, Ospreay was seen limping after landing on his hip. Alvarez and Meltzer also mentioned that Swerve Strickland is dealing with a busted eardrum, so he and Cody have something in common. What? And Mercedes Moné has a bruised larynx, and Momo Watanabe left the show on crutches. It's possible that Momo Watanabe hurt her ankle when she kicked Moné in the face and neck. It was a did you have a chance to see the highlights of that one, Tom? I know you didn't have a chance to see much of the first part of the show, but did you see that kick that landed to Mercedes, which had her floating back into time?
That kick was brutal. Momo Watanabe had a hold of Mercedes' right hand with her left hand and threw a kick, and I think the first one caught Mercedes in the throat. And then the second one looked like it was right on the jaw, right in the face. Mercedes went all the way flying back, and then she came back up in the next kick. She had her hand up to block that, but just brutal from Momo Watanabe on those kicks. MJF and Swerve Strickland are...
Let's talk about Matt Burn on somebody's face. Here it is.
I thought they were going to end up like Petey the Bird from Dumb and Dumber, and they're having their head fall off. Because Hangman gave MJF an angel's wings right on his face, like the top of his head, his forehead, his face hit the mat first. And then Swerve does a dive onto Ricochet, and Ricochet is supposed to catch him and then give him the Death Valley driver. But like, Swerve's going down without Ricochet catching him. He overshot his landing a little bit. He went over, and Ricochet just decided, well, we're going with this now. And just, I have a still shot, actually, that I'll send you, Mike, just right on top of his head. So great to hear that he walked away unscathed from that. But did he have a backstage altercation with Travis Scott? Is that how he ended up with the busted eardrum?
That's a very good question. And if he busted his eardrum in that match, equilibrium. I know you can work on a busted eardrum and you can travel and some of that stuff, but still, in the hours after it happens, it's got to be something with your equilibrium. And there he was up at the top of the arena steps, diving on down to John Moxley after it was over. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But as Filthy mentioned, you know, that shot that MJF, the angel's wings, it just looked like his face, number one, obviously hit the mat, but I was more worried about the burn going across and him breaking a nose or something like that. And when it came to Swerve Strickland, it reminded me of Fedor getting suplexed by Kevin Randleman. It wasn't that dramatic and that violent looking, but I mean, he just really jammed him into the floor, and it was an ugly looking scene. But that's what that reminded me of. First thing was seeing Fedor and Randleman in that back suplex that Fedor took, and he popped back up and ended up finishing Randleman. But just unbelievable. These necks are made of slinkies, I guess. Hear the music. Got a lot more to get into when we get back from break. Wrestling Observer Live.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back on the show, Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler back with you. Filthy, I didn't get a chance to watch SmackDown, and I got to be honest, I skipped Collision. And I didn't even watch the UFC. I was putting all of my in-ring canvas mat, my entire being and all of my focus was on Sunday, so I just completely avoided everything that took place on Friday and Saturday. And there's been a lot of talk coming out of last night that that main event between Jon Moxley and Adam Copeland at the very least should have been put somewhere else on the card. A lot of people absolutely hated it. I didn't hate the match. I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world or anything like that, but because of the place on the card where it was and the fact that I have not been into this feud, you know, I probably could have did without it. But what was worse, that fight, that match, or the fight on the UFC show, which you said may stop you from ever watching MMA again?
Well, I can confidently say that I was not particularly a fan of the Moxley Cope match, mostly because of where, like you mentioned, where it was placed on the card. I think they would have been better served doing like a 10-minute match after all that we had seen. But, you know, they went out there and they had their match, did what they were going to do. Like you mentioned, I mean, it wasn't the worst thing, but it killed the crowd. The crowd was dead. And I think in that case, you have to kind of look at what's already happened out there before and read it a little bit better. So I think that would have been a lot better served as a shorter match. This fight that you mentioned, Amanda Lemos and Yasmin Lucindo, was one of the worst fights in the history of mixed martial arts. Atrocious. It looked like not even a glorified sparring contest. This was like two people who don't even want to spar. They're both looking to be the out round in the gym, and they somehow matched up with each other. That was the amount of action, the amount of urgency, the amount of excitement that they had going out there and fighting. 29-28 for Lemos, and the commission actually stopped the fight 7 seconds early. The bell goes off. You could see the clock. The bell goes off, and they go, "Whoa!" Rogan goes, "Oh, that's 7 seconds early," and Annett goes, "Well, I think the commission had seen enough."
Jeez.
That tells you all you need to know about that. So regardless of what the fans think of that main event on Revolution, worlds better than what we got in that UFC pay-per-view.
Christian, a lot of people were trying to figure out what direction they were going to go before the match started. You had the Jay White factor. A lot of people were wondering, okay, is he going to come in and maybe screw over Adam Copeland, or maybe he screws over Christian and gets the contract, and that ends up not happening. He does hit Adam Copeland in the face with the briefcase when he was intending to hit Wheeler Yuta. At least that's what we think right now. Yuta and Jay White ended up brawling away, and that opened the door for Christian to try to cash in his contract after, what, 7-8 months now of him holding on to that thing. He goes and he tries to sign it. Copeland hit a spear, and that's when Christian jumped in, hit a spear of his own on Edge, which got the two count. He goes for the kill switch, hits it. As he's doing that, Moxley, who was outside the ring, gets back in, gets Christian in the bulldog choke as Adam Copeland is laid out there. Christian taps out. Match ends. People are not happy that Jon Moxley retains the title, although I would think that they would be happier with him still with it as opposed to Christian. Jon Moxley starts to go to the back. Prince Nana comes out, stops him in the aisle. Swerve Strickland, he's just pointing up. Swerve Strickland's on the top of the ramp, jumps down, double foot stomp onto Moxley. It looks like we're going right into John Moxley and Swerve Strickland, which is an idea I am all for. I personally wanted Samoa Joe to at some point take that contract off of Christian and be the one that goes after the title. But if this is what we're going to do, I'm fine with it, because I would like to see Moxley's title reign end. And with Swerve coming out of this show, now would maybe be a good time to do that. I know a lot of people have eyes on Darby Allin being the one to possibly do that when he gets back from climbing Mount Everest. But with how things have gone with the whole Death Rider storyline, I know I'm not in the minority when I have by saying that I have not been a big fan of it. I don't hate it as much as some people, but it has not worked. Do you go and use this as an opportunity to go ahead, switch the title? You can have Moxley continue with the Death Riders, continue to go chase after Swerve, but would you rather see Swerve now with that belt?
I think the smart play here is to have Moxley retain over Swerve. Prince Nana screws Swerve. And who I would put the title on is Hangman Page. To me, that is the babyface for AEW. That is the guy to beat John Moxley. And I would kind of like solidify that by having John Moxley beat Swerve. You know, a man that's had Hangman Page's number, as we've seen in the past. And then have Paige be the one, you know, as this baby face character come out and defeat John Moxley and be the face of AEW. I think he should have been the face of AEW this entire time. You know, obviously he was great as a heel, but to me, everything should have built towards Hangman Page being the guy up to this point in AEW since the inception.
I agree with you on Hangman Page being that guy. And again, whether anybody likes him or not, to me, he is the heart
and soul of
AEW.
Who doesn't like him? There's people that don't like him?
I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't like
him. This guy's awesome.
I greatly enjoy him. I think the heel run has been good for him. It has not been perfect or anything like that. He's far better to me as a baby face, but he needed to actually do this for the first time in his career, try to give himself a little bit of an edge. Again, I know it's going back to the past year, we're trying to make him into more of a Magnum TA type of character, but that to me is kind of what they did. And if I'm not mistaken, he was searching for Swerve several times when he ran into MJF to say something to him, which I would assume would be some sort of apology or something to get back on the same page with each other. And as much as I hate the idea of Prince Nana turning on Swerve and ending that act, is that the way, then, that you can get Swerve and Paige back on the same page? No pun intended. By having Nana screw over Swerve, Moxley gets the victory, retains the title, and now they at least have something in common. These two guys who tried to murder each other and burn down houses and intimidated newborn babies. Is this how we get them back on the same page?
I mean, I don't think they need to be necessarily on the same page, you know, but the way it's been set up to this point is that, like, they're mortal enemies, you know, for the past year or so. So they need to do something to kind of shore that up. And I do think they've teased so heavily Prince Nana turning and then not done it. I think eventually they've got to pull the trigger. And what better way than to screw out Swerve in the biggest opportunity that he has?
Especially
he got his robe back, right? So he got what he wants.
And Nana, look, when Nana got pushed in the corner, there was a stop part where Swerve went and actually held up on hitting him. Then he got kicked into him, knocked him down. And at the end, though, got down on a knee, presented the embassy robe to Prince Nana. So, you know, there is that little bit in there, much like the same way Jay White hit Adam Copeland in the face, that Swerve and Nana actually did make contact. And although it would be a weak excuse, heels don't need a huge excuse to turn on somebody. So that may be where he decides, okay, this will be my excuse to maybe give, you know, I've taken enough bullets for you, Swerve. I've been beaten up. I've lost my robe. I've gone through hell. You know, this is how I'm going to get you back. The match went 26 minutes and 32 seconds. Filthy, as you mentioned, it went way too long considering that the two matches before it also both went a half hour. And my God, were they certainly full up to here Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher almost too much. I mean, it really did, as Brian pointed out on Observer Radio, it got ridiculous. But then, honestly, in a way, it got to sublime, too, because it was so over the top when it came to the violence and the kickouts and all of the plunder and everything these two guys did to each other. Wild, wild match. Wild finish that saw... I thought the craziest thing I've ever seen off the top of a cage was Elix Skipper in TNA doing a cage walk on the top of the cage on James Storm or Chris Harris. I can't remember what member of America's
on
Most
on the skinny top of the cage, not like a trussing where there's lighting. We're talking like an inch wide at the top, and he's like running, and he looks like he's almost gonna fall. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Spot from back in the day.
Wild, wild spot from like 2004 or whatever. Well, 20 years later, we get this one with Ospreay and Fletcher where we see just an unbelievable Spanish fly. And the more I watch it, Tom, honestly, the more I was scared to never see anybody do this again. All of the things that could have went wrong with that move and they didn't, other than Will Ospreay landing on his hip. But, I mean, just an incredible match.
Yeah, I mean, what else? I don't even know how he could put it into words. just great stuff. I mean,
a little
over the top, but it's pro wrestling. I mean, a guy did get stabbed repeatedly during the match, but hey, you know, he fights on. Fighting spirit.
We had a
warrior way.
Brain buster through chairs, which got a two count. We had Mark Davis interfere. Mark Davis, who was just interfering, actually got juice as well, too. I mean... It was a juicy night. There was blood everywhere. It was like 1986 Jim Crockett. And we'll get into the bloodiest match on the show when we get back from break. Toni Storm retaining the AEW World Women's title over Mariah May. It's a Hollywood ending. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back on the show, Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler here with you, taking a look at Sunday night's AEW Revolution pay-per-view. We talked a little bit about the main event as well as Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Tom, I'm going to skip over Kenny Omega and Konosuke Takeshita for a second to get to the match that I think most people have been talking about today as far as praise, as far as shock over all of the visuals during this thing, over all the plunder used. I mean, how many times has there been a wrestling match where we have gotten a call of a glass bottle to a vagina? Which somebody out there just shockingly looked at their radio. I didn't do it. Mariah May hit Toni Storm with that bottle. Everything under the sun and then some between these two. I mean, early on in the match, Toni Storm had powerbombed Mariah May off the stage through a table. And, I mean, that was just step one. And then the blood came and chaos. And it ends with a shoe. And it ends with Toni Storm laying on top of Mariah May, getting the three count on the stage. As the camera pans back and we see the end, Finn listed up on the screens. Wild. Absolutely a wild match. I don't know how great of a wrestling match it was, but as far as the spectacle goes, going to be hard to forget.
Yeah, Mike, I'd like to backtrack just for a second since you were so happy to get out that call of the glass to the vagina.
I didn't, because it reminded me of about it.
Another awful spot that these has happened in the AEW women's match. If you remember, Chris Statlander one time was fighting Willow, I believe, and went for a scissor kick and missed and went lips first into the thumbtacks.
There was a joke that it's Saturday Night Live, but you ever look at Honey Smacks and what they look like? Never mind. Toni Storm and Mariah May had themselves a hell of a match. It went 13 minutes, and that's it. If you would have told me it went a half hour, I would have absolutely believed it. In fact, I thought all four of the closing matches went a half hour. The show didn't end until about a little after midnight, I think it was Eastern time, but it only went 13 minutes, but boy, did they pack it in with absolutely everything. And I guess the question now is, these two have been so great against each other, but we saw before Mariah May that Toni Storm, when put in there with other opponents, had a tendency to just basically gobble them up when it came to the crowd response, when it came to people absolutely not caring who she was in there with. And with Mariah May, I dare say we've kind of seen the same thing. I think some of her matches against her opponents may have been, maybe more accepted than some of Tony's against the Deanna's and the Serena's, the matches she had. But where do these two go? Because in a perfect world, everybody would be back on the same page with Camille. And Camille, to me, would be a good opponent for a Toni Storm. You can play off the movie. She's a big heel that people will boo and not have to worry about, you know, Toni Bigfooting her or anything like that. I mean, what do you think for these two? Because you can't have Willow and Chris Statlander fight everybody. So what exactly do you do with these two?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a good question. I don't see a direct path for either of them next. Although, you know, I'm sure there's something in mind. Obviously, Toni is the champion now. So you have like Megan Bain, Penelope Ford out there as heels as well. So maybe Megan Bain could kind of be slotted into this position, although that seems kind of early. But I don't really see another big heel that could step up and challenge Tony right now. So, like you mentioned, hey, we haven't seen Camille for a bit. Maybe she's still under contract with AEW. Maybe they're just holding her off to bring her back in a situation like this. And we'll quickly forget about her past association with Mercedes Moné. Because I don't see what Tony does right now.
Yeah, and that's, even if you can't get back on the same page or whatever can't be worked out with Camille, and that's fine. You mentioned Megan Bain. I think that would be a good choice as well, too, because, Megan looks great, and she comes out there, and she's not bad, but there is something missing as far, she's got this great physical charisma, but when she's working, there are things that are missing as part of her game, and that's why I think the association with Penelope Ford is great, that she can add some personality to it, but Toni Storm might be the right opponent for her because she is such a cartoon and so over the top that might be able to play off each other well. When it comes to Mariah May, man, that is interesting. If Mina Shirakawa comes back to the States at some point, you do have a natural thing there between, those two. Willow seems to be tied up right now with the Death Riders, and with Marina. So, Statlander. And also another person who would actually be great for Mariah is Anna Jay, who we really haven't seen in a while either. And I think that might actually be a good feud that people could get into between those two.
Yeah, and there's also Julia Hart, right? You could probably throw Julia Hart in there and have her face Tony and get some defenses out of that. And there's also, we haven't even mentioned, there's CMLL, there's Stardom, woman that could come over. And Tony has worked, I believe, in both those promotions, right? She's done work in CMLL now, and she's obviously, a veteran of Stardom. So, maybe they could get a couple defenses. This should be a long title reign, I would think, for Toni Storm here. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would think it'd be a longer reign, and you could get maybe some defenses in against those women and some good matches,
Lucha Gato, heat up Serena Deeb, have a program with them for a while. Look, I love Serena Deeb. I love watching her wrestle. You want to heat up Serena Deeb, send her over to Stardom. I would love to see Serena Deeb. I don't know if she'll ever get over here. She's been around so long. There's just something there where people don't take to her. But my God, she is so good in the ring. You saw it with the Momo, in the Momo match. I saw highlights of that. And again, not saying that she outshone Momo or anything, but you just see how good Deeb is. And I would love to see her try to get over more in some sort of way. Kenny Omega and Konosuke Takeshita. Again, a great match. Brian talked about how much they left on the table. I'm not sure how much they left on the table, but they certainly left the door open because it was Kenny Omega selling his intestines. It was Takeshita that had the advantage over him the whole time. They did obviously leave enough on the table for the next time around, but I thought this was excellent as well too.
Yeah, out of the things that I saw on the show, I thought this was my favorite. This is the thing I enjoyed the most. Obviously Will Ospreay and Fletcher tried to kill each other, but this match was, safer. I wouldn't necessarily say it was safe because these guys
on a night of spectacles
out.
This may have been the best match. It wasn't the best spectacle, but it may have been the best work match. You can argue that for sure.
Yeah, I thought beginning to end this was a great match. The only thing I could say is that, like, in these matches you just know they're going to be good, so the first few minutes while they're setting up what's going to happen in the rest of the match, they don't seem as urgent, and that was the only, I guess, the only thing I could say bad about this match. If why I'm even saying that, I don't know. I should have just kept my mouth shut because this match ruled.
Hurt Syndicate defeated the Outrunners. Some people disappointed over the fact that the Outrunners did not get more offense, but I don't know how you can have this match and let them get any more offense than they got. It is not the Outrunners' fault, and I know Brian gets a little moody when I refer to the Outrunners as the Bushwhackers, but the problem is they have the shtick. They have the gimmick. They're fun. We know that. They don't get wins. We don't really see them in the mix with anybody. So it's like, what did you expect? These goofy 80s guys who we saw get a lucky victory over Brian Cage and Lance Archer to get the match itself. I mean, why would we believe in these guys? And when it comes to the Outrunners, I think now Lance Archer and Brian Cage should attack them. They should go after them. You screwed up our title shot. And then have a feud. And have the Outrunners win it. And then they move on to feud with somebody else. Where give these guys something where they're not just sideshows. Because, again, to me, in the grand scheme of things, as a fan, as a viewer watching, as much as I enjoy the shtick sometimes, to me, they're sideshows. And you can't take them seriously against the Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the idea is, like, it seems as if FTR might be kind of inching towards a heel turn. Maybe the Outrunners get their big win over FTR, who they've been buddy-buddy with in the past. I don't see any team really as a strong threat to the Hurt Syndicate. I can't imagine, like, obviously Archer and Cage are a great big power duo. They look intimidating as, like, a team. The Murder Machines are awesome, but you just know it's too early for the Hurt Syndicate to lose to them. And I said it before on the show with you, I think the team that they should be building up to eventually take these titles off the Hurt Syndicate is the Guns.
Yeah.
A homegrown young AEW team who I thought looked awesome in there against the Hurt Syndicate. I thought that's been the best match that I've seen either team have, you know, in a long time. And I think that they should be the ones kind of taking those belts off of them towards the end of this year.
And I agree with, and that's just, it's a frustrating thing because, you know, FTR has disappeared. We only really see him on Collision and you know, the Guns, they get their shot and then they disappear. Well, why aren't the Guns in there with, they showed Lio Rush in Action Andretti, and I'm not saying that this is the perfect scenario, but why didn't Action and Lio then challenge the Guns, make fun of them backstage after they lose to the Hurt Business, and then they have a match on Collision where they beat them? Build up to seeing Lio in action, because just like you mentioned, when you look at the Hurt Business, why does anybody believe that Action and Lio have a shot in this? It might be fun, but why does anybody believe that they have a shot? And again, just put these teams together, rebuild the division. It's been too long. You have all of these teams, and for some reason, everything is really incoherent with the way that they do things. But Hurt Syndicate, hold on to the titles. Kazuchika Okada and Brody King, AEW Continental title. Okada does not seem to be losing this title until July, where he and Kenny Omega, when he and Kenny Omega face off, and in my world, hopefully tie these titles together. But
they will main event over the world title, and they will create the AEW Intercontinental Championship. Is my prediction.
Okada is a all-time legend, Tom. You know this. A lot of people listening know this, know what he did in Japan. It's amazing.
Beat me.
He did. Kazuchika Okada in the States has been a different story, and I'm happy for him, but he does have a problem getting out of second gear. It's either because he can't, he won't, where it's a little bit of both, but Brody King tried everything he could. Okada was not terrible, but, you know, it's been wild since he's gotten here. You know, it's not the same dude. We're in a Nakamura type of situation with Okada where maybe he really can't turn it on because of this. And again, the fourth match in out of 11 against the match against Brody King, maybe his heart wasn't into it, but it seems like a different dude.
Father Time, undefeated.
True. Absolutely
say
true.
It. I mean, we saw it in the main event of the UFC this weekend, and you see it in wrestling all the time.
Swerve Strickland defeated Ricochet. We talked about that. I'd love to see what comes next for Ricochet here, too, losing the number one contendership to Swerve last night and the Rose itself, too. That has been such a great change in character, and I don't know. Maybe he ought to answer Max Caster's open challenge and they can have a geek off and Brian can talk about that. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live.
I am I'm an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back on the show, Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler here to put a bow on this thing. Look at that, with little time just stepping in, and we threw something together and it seemed to work itself out. Unlike what's taking place in the YouTube chat right now, where apparently, hard times for Robert Dinkins going on in there. Sorry, Robert. Did you like the AEW show? I know that you did. Fight back against all those people making fun of you. Because remember, you're old. You're not impotent. Filthy, you are also not impotent. What you got coming up today?
Today, not a lot. But, you know, Mike, since I have a minute, I just like to mention, because usually SmackDown is my beat, that we have a new United States champion, as in the main event on SmackDown, LA Knight defeated the man that you mentioned earlier, Shinsuke Nakamura, to once again win the title. So there's your SmackDown report for the week.
That's all you folks are getting on that one, too, because I don't believe that there is a Filthy Four Daily today. This is it, unless you give us money right now, and we'll Filthy and I will do a Filthy Four Daily if you pay us enough right after this show goes off the air. But since you probably won't, you're just going to have to wait. The same way you had to wait to hear Brian Alvarez, you got to wait till tonight and become a member of WrestlingObserver.com. Listen to he and Dave, Wrestling Observer Radio, everything that takes place on Raw tonight, which we didn't talk about at all. It should be actually really a newsworthy show. Jey Uso against Grayson Waller. Will Waller and Theory actually split? Tornado tag match. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods against Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio. Will the rest of the LWO turn on Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio? In a steel cage match, CM Punk against Seth Rollins. Honestly,
this will that from Madison anything? Square Garden?
The Mecca, Madison Square Garden. The greatest building in the history of man. I love that building. I love Madison Square Garden. And I think the real big question, though, of Raw is, will we find out what was in the box that Chad Gable paid $500 for? Filthy, thank you so much for saving the day today. Thank you all of you out there for watching and listening. Shall talk to you again after a while.